Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sunday Night Live. You know, I'm so excited to hear our theme song again and again, that God is on the move. He is definitely on the move. And so we're just so glad that you came back to join us as we have another show tonight. I've got Dr. H.R. Sharp with us tonight. How are you, Dr. Sharp?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Natalie?
I am doing well. You know, we always talk about the weather, but we can't help it because it's the elements that affect us. But it seems to be cooling off just a little bit, and so maybe we're about to start a decline in our triple digits.
That would be great.
Yes, it would. Well, you know, I was talking to you earlier this week, and you were telling me, actually what had happened was, you had really been on my heart and mind, and I thought, well, I'm just going to pray for him, you know. I mean, you just kept, you know, being brought back to my mind, and so I was praying for you, and so I just decided to go ahead and reach out to you that morning, and you were telling me that God is about to do something big, and so I just knew that this was something that we probably need to share with our listeners. And so if you're ready, I mean, you know, we could go ahead and just dive on into this, because it's just, for me, it's exciting. Because, you know, again, like I said, our show, that my theme song is God is on the Move. And I definitely believe that God is on the move like never before.
Yes, to go back, you actually sent me a text about praying for me, and I, of course, my answer was, hey, I can use all I can get. But
yes.
I made this statement that I'm so excited. I don't really know. God hasn't specifically told me why, but inside I'm excited. I know things are going on. And, you know, when we first moved to Perryton, the Lord gave Pastor Marlon Sparks some revelatory dreams about what is coming. In one of these dreams, he saw this huge paint can over the top of the earth, and it was pouring out. It looked like red paint, but as it turned out, it was the blood of the Lamb. And he's literally going to saturate the earth with his glory. A mighty move of God is coming. The greatest move that we've ever seen. Matter of fact, I've heard it prophesied that if you take all of the moves of God, put them together, they won't come close to what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just, like I said, my insides have just been so excited. The Lord began to show me over 30 years ago what's getting ready to happen. And showed me that there would be a great move. It would start on the east and the west coast. It would move inland, and it would meet in Texas. In other words, we're going to get a double dose of the move of God hitting right here in the center part of the United States. But what I really wanted to do is go back and show you biblically what we're talking about. Because, you know, people say moves of God. What are you talking about, moves of God? In Acts chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 20. It says, "And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." Now, that word restitution can be better translated restoration. Okay? Now, it says here that Jesus, whom the heaven must receive. That word must receive is closer to hold closely and not allow. In other words, Jesus, and this will blow a lot of people's theology, Jesus cannot come back until all things are restored to the church that have been lost. And you say, well, what's been lost? Well, there's a lot of things that were lost. Matter of fact, you know, over the ages, they even lost salvation. They went back into law, where you had to work to get into heaven. You know, you got to count enough beads. And matter of fact, you can go to the priest and have them and pay them to get your family out of purgatory, which there is no such thing, which may upset a lot of people. But these things were lost. Salvation was lost for, you know, believing in your heart that in Jesus. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That was all lost. Baptism of the Holy Spirit was lost. Healing pretty much was all lost. And God has begun to restore. And, you know, if you look back in history, it can be the moves of God, or return of the moves of God, started in 1517 with Luther. And God gave him a revelation of the grace of God, that you're not saved by works, but it's by the gift of God. And the church formed around that revelation, and it stayed that way for 300 years. And out of that move of God came three primary denominations. You've got the Lutheran, the Episcopalian, and the Presbyterians. And they revolved around that revelation for 300 years. Then you had another move in 1801. And in that move, they began to believe, you know, if we're saved by grace, maybe we need to start living by grace. And we need to start living like we're saved. And out of that move came the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of Christ. They started trying to live a holy life. And then 100 years later, there was another move, 1906, 1904. You had the Pentecostal move, and where the baptism of the Holy Spirit was restored and the gifts of the Spirit. And since 1900, there's been multiple smaller moves within that. You had the Latter Rain move in the 40s. You had the Charismatic move that started in the 60s. And since then, we've had a prophetic move and the faith move, and we're currently in an apostolic move. And we're getting ready to move into the greatest move of God that has ever been seen. I heard a prophecy some time back said that during this last day's move, there'll be 2 billion youth. That's with a B, not M, a B. 2 billion youth will get saved.
Wow.
And come into the kingdom. And our church was rejoicing. We sent 7 teenagers to camp a couple weeks ago. All 7 of them came back saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and excited and turned on to God. And they're different kids. You know, they went from very shy to, you know, just exploding about all the glory that was going on and everything that was happening. So God is on the move, okay? And a lot of people, especially if you're absorbed with all that's going on in politics, that's all going to change too, okay? And I think a large portion of what's going on is going to break people away from the natural and turn them towards the supernatural. There's going to be many, many people get saved in this next move of God. And we're already seeing it. It's already started on the East and West Coast. And then, of course, we saw in Kentucky with the college there where revival hit. You know, it's just the magnitude, I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen. But this will be worldwide. There will be literally billions of people come into the kingdom in this next move. And it's going to be earmarked by signs, wonders, and miracles on an unprecedented measure. And we had something happen in our church here a couple months ago that the Lord told me that this was just an introduction of what's coming. Because there's, you know, a lot of people have believed in healing, but they don't have a clue about what the Bible's talking about when it says to be made whole. And do you remember the story of the 10 lepers?
Yes.
Where 10 of them came to Jesus and asked for healing. And he told them, according to what the law said, now go show the priest. Because according to the law, the priest had to declare them clean. So they all left. Well, one of them looked down, and his leprosy was healed. So he returned and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. And Jesus said something very strange. He said, I thought there was 10 of them. Only one came back. 9 of them went home or whatever, went to the priest, but they didn't come back. This one came and worshiped Jesus, thanking God for what had happened. And Jesus said, because you've done this, be made whole. Now, what that basically means is while the leprosy was healed, the damage that had been caused, which with leprosy, you lose fingers, toes, nose, ears, and things like that. What to be made whole there means is he got his body parts back. Now, that boggles the mind, but he not only was healed of leprosy, he was restored to the way he was before he had it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, okay. We have a lady in our church. She had gotten a strange infection in one of her fingers, and the tip of her finger, down to the first knuckle, was dead. And they sent her to a specialist. They said, we've got to amputate. He says, no, you're not going to. And she said, I'm believing God's going to heal me. And God not only healed her, he put back that first digit. She was made whole. And when she got up and testified that, I said, that's when the Lord said, this is just the first fruits of this move. We're going to see people with lost arms, lost digits, ears, nose, eyes being restored during this next move of God. Because see, you know, the word says that Jesus made this statement, says, the works that I do, you shall do also and greater. Well, what kind of works did he do? Well, he opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He caused the paralyzed to walk. He caused the blind to see. You know, and did he raise the dead? He made people whole. And you've got to get into the Word and start to begin to believe what the Word says. Those things he did, we will be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That is our calling. We are called to do the works of Jesus. And you know, this next move, like I said, will be earmarked by tremendous signs and wonders and miracles. And we've seen some of these by the, what you might call the superstars of the faith. But what the Lord's saying is your average, everyday Christian, your housewife, your auto mechanic, your carpenter, we're going to see those people performing signs and wonders and miracles. Now, like I said, that will blow the minds of the religious mindset, but to me, it's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Like I said, my insides get to jumping when I start talking about this because, you know, I just, it just, like I said, it boggles the mind. The more you think about it, the more it just kind of blows you away, knowing that this poor old sinner that I was and weak person can now start doing what Jesus said I could do. See, this is part of the restoration process.
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to tell Christians, you're not an old sinner saved by grace. You can't be that. You're either an old sinner or you're saved by grace, but you're not both. You know, my insides, my spirit man is copied after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think that that's what happened, and I think the last time we had you on the radio a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this, is our minds, we have to get past that part,
mm-hmm.
and quit seeing ourselves as that old sinner saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you're one or the other, and move past that and move on so that you can move into the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And not be focusing on that anymore, but focusing on what does God want to do in and through you.
Yes. Yeah, we're right now in the early stages of God fully restoring the concept of his grace. And, you know, when I was a kid, we sang songs, Amazing Grace and things of this nature. And I got to questioning people, well, what's grace? And I found out that probably 99.999% of Christians had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of their response was, well, I don't know, but it's sure good. Well, how do you know it's good if you don't know what it is? You know, the word grace, charis, is a gift. And it's a gift only given to the undeserving. If you deserved it, it wouldn't be grace, it'd be salary. You know, how many of us fit that category of undeserving? Every one of us.
That's right.
You know, we're all undeserving. And I've had people say, well, I'm just too far gone. I'm just too undeserving. Well, grace was designed for you. Rejoice in the fact that God wants to do these in spite of you. You know, and, you know, there's so much teaching about the grace of God going on right now. Of course, there's also great backlash from it too. You know, people just feel like, well, you know, that it can't be that easy. Surely there's something I've got to do. Yeah, the Bible says our work is to believe. Receive
mm-hmm.
what he said and act on it. You know, I like Andrew Womack's definition of faith. He says faith is your positive response to what God has already done. You know,
so
he's all, go ahead.
So what I'm, the scripture that comes to mind, and I'm not trying to contradict you, but I'm wondering if people aren't thinking about this scripture. And so I kind of want you to explain to us how you think this fits in. But that scripture that says the wages of sin is death.
Well, it is. But it's not death to my spirit as a born-again believer. if I, as a born-again believer, mess up and sin, it's going to affect my outer man. We discussed this last week. We are triune. We're spirit. I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I have a soul. What gets born again is my spirit man. And I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am made like Jesus on the inside. But I've still got two-thirds of me that is stinko. It's a hot mess. That's why the Word says we have to get into the Word and renew our mind according to the washing of the water of the Word. You know, and so many people say, well, thank God the day he saved my soul. He didn't save your soul. He saved your spirit. And your soul has to be renewed. You've got to get the things that have been stored in your mind and your will through your whole life. There's been so many things taught that were wrong. And you've got to get those things out. The Word says renew your mind. That is an architectural term. Renew basically means to, like if you were to go into my living room, you would strip the sheetrock down, you would take it all the way down to the studs, and then completely remodel it. And that's what we have to do with our mind. It has to be changed according to what the Word says, not what experiences said, not what has been taught, that in many instances is so far wrong. I've got to renew it according to what God said and get to the point where I think like he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because my spirit is already there. But when I can get my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions in alignment with my spirit, which is in alignment with the Word, I begin to see what God is doing. Not only see it, I begin to perform it.
You know, thinking about what you had said earlier about the red wave, you know, the move of the blood of Jesus and the outpouring of miracles. We had a team from Cornerstone Church that went to El Salvador a week or two ago. They got back this week. So anyway, and that was one thing that the pastor there is even saying is that we are about to move into a place where the pouring out of the miracles of God and the people running to the church.
Amen. Amen. You know, I envision seeing ambulances pulling up in front of church buildings, bringing people on gurneys into churches and having them walk out. I've seen that. The Lord has shown me that vision. Football stadiums where they're having revival meetings and there's a line of ambulances bringing people from hospitals and being healed. You know, there was a time when Spokane, Washington was declared the healthiest place on the face of the earth. And his name just completely slips my mind right now, but he had a healing house there. And they had over 100,000 medically documented healings coming out of that ministry. Because people would literally come there and they would live. They'd have a room there. And they would pump the Word into them. They'd speak healing scriptures to them in the morning. Then midday and in the evening, they were constantly having the Word of God pumped into them, and the Word began to manifest in healings and miracles, signs and wonders. And we're calling our church a healing house because we're seeing people get healed, and it's going to increase. We're going to see miracles. Like I said, we've already seen one where a finger grew out, the bone regrew back into that finger. And, you know, the doctors can't explain it. But that is a person that got made whole for the power of God. She believed God, and God not only healed the infection. He replaced the part of the finger that was gone. It was dead. Even the fingernail grew back.
And what a testimony. And you cannot deny the works when you see it.
Yeah. So it's just, to me, I've been sitting on this thing for 30 years, and now I'm beginning to see the actual fruition of a vision the Lord gave me back in the early 90s.
So you were saying earlier that in Acts, I believe you said chapter 3, but I could be quoting it wrong.
3:20-21.
That Jesus cannot come back until those things are restored. So will you just expand a little bit more on that?
Well, like I said, he's coming back for a victorious, overcoming church. One that looks like his bride. And the church right now doesn't look anything like what the word says. You know, there's splintered here and there. There's division. There's fights against what I believe, and I don't believe that, and we don't do that, and that's not done at our church. And so the church has not become that glorified, overcoming, powerful church. You know, he's not coming on a rescue mission. You know, so many people say, well, we've got to tie a knot in the end of the rope and just hang on till Jesus comes. That is not the right biblical attitude. God is coming back for people that are doing his works, that they're standing up against the evil and performing signs, wonders, and miracles. That's who he's coming after. And until the church starts lining up fully with the Word of God, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people have this rescue mentality. Oh, Lord, come Jesus. And I like what Kat Kerr says. You need to roll up your rapture rugs and get off your knees and start doing the works of God. You know, he's looking for people that will line up with his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the current church overall doesn't look anything like the first church. And the word says that the latter-day church will exceed the glory and the power of the first church. And, you know, we're not even close to the first church, much less what's coming. But this move that's coming is going to take us there. You're going to see many, many people just literally running out of these dead churches that are just preaching these feel-good sermons. We need to be discipled. We need to be taught. We need to become what God has called us to be. And, you know, get over this mentality, well, I'm just a housewife. Well, so what? Maybe you are a mommy and you're a housewife, but during your day, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, deaf ears, perform what God's called you to do. And, you know, not everybody's called to a pulpit ministry, but everybody's called to the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4:11 says. He gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the equipping. I know the King James says perfecting, but the word better translated, equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You know, I keep telling people our pastor, Marlon Sparks, is not the minister of our church. He's the pastor. We're the ministers. His job is to train us in the ministry of getting people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. That's our job. And for so long, they've read that scripture where the pastor was given to perfect us, make us sweet little darlings, and he's to go on and do the ministry. No, he's to train us to do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Religion has taught us that we can do nothing. that it's just a few little superstars that's supposed to do all the work. No. As a teacher, I'm a trainer. I'm an equipper. That's my job, is to get people off of their rear ends and start doing the works of Jesus that we're called to do. Every born-again believer is called into the ministry. I like to call it the family business. We're all called into the family business. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been told to get people saved. We've been told to heal the sick. He didn't even say to pray for them. It says, heal the sick.
So, what does that look like for someone who's not behind a pulpit? Because they're like, I'm not a minister. I'm just a, like you said, housewife or a grocery store worker, or I work at the bank, or wherever it is I work. I'm not a minister. And so what does that look like?
I've had three people healed in grocery stores. I was shopping one day, and a lady came up to me and said, oh, Brother Sharp, I'm so sick. When you remember me, be sure and pray for me. And, it says, be instant in season. So this whole thing about praying for them when I remember, I usually forget. So I just laid hands on her, prayed for her, right next to the bell peppers, and God healed her. Boom, right there in the vegetable aisle. I had another lady did the same thing. I was coming out of the grocery store, and she's come up to me, oh, Brother Sharp, please remember me. I've been so sick. So I just did what the word says, believers lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Boom, she got healed out there on the sidewalk. She went home healed.
Mm-hmm.
That's being a minister out on the street. That's being a minister in your world. He says, go ye into all the world. And a lot of people are afraid to answer that because they're afraid they'll be sent somewhere. But actually what that means is, as you go through your world, you minister in your world. Your world is, whatever you do. That's your world. That's your circle, your family, your friends. That's your world. And you are a minister to your world. You're to heal the sick, to cast out devils, perform signs, wonders, and miracles in your world.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that because that is so good. I do. People hear that and they think, oh, I'm going to have to go to Africa, or I'm going to have to go to some third world country.
Yeah.
Guess what? We got enough people in right where we're at that need the blood of Jesus and the healing and the ministering right here in the United States.
Absolutely.
Your own hometown, your state. Yes.
Okay, the Lord just reminded me, I didn't answer your question all the way. The wages of sin is death. Like I said, my spirit man is righteous and holy, but the rest of me can still mess up. If I'm in sin in my flesh, there comes death. It may be the death of my finances. It may be relationship death. May cause divorce or things of this nature. So the wages of sin is death. You may wind up with a good bank account and it die. It go from black to red. The wages of sin is death. And the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Said he's roaming about looking for whom he can devour. It's the person walking in sin. The Christian can still mess up. He can still sin, which a lot of people have almost backed off of religion because, I got saved and I still got these attitudes. Well, yeah, you do, because those attitudes were in your soul, not your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So even as a Christian, if I'm living less than what God's told me to, then it can bring death to a situation. So, God has provided repentance to stop that. I don't get into repentance to get back with God. I get in repentance to stop the enemy. You see the difference?
That's it. Yes. And I'm so glad that you explained it that way, because to me, in layman's terms, or how I would say it, is we make choices, and we will have consequences, or things will happen according to our choices.
That's right.
And so that's, to me, that's what that verse means, is that's what you're saying is, you know, whatever you choose to do, there's going to be an outcome. Whether you're choosing something that is in the way of the Lord, or whether you're in the right way, or whether it's not. But there's going to be an outcome from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either choose the death outcome, or you can choose the outcome that causes life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, that scripture is accurate, even though I am born again. I can still wind up in death in certain areas of my life because my outer man is not lining up with my inner man. You know, so we've got to line up with our inner man, making our outer man line up with it. And that stops the enemy from destroying me. You know, even though I'm a born-again, righteous, holy child of the Most High God, the enemy can wipe me out because I'm not living according to what God's called me to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that scripture is true. There's a lot of good born-again, spirit-filled Christians that's gone home to be with the Lord because they didn't line their flesh man up with their spirit man. They were saved, but they, you know, a lot of people look at the grace teaching now and say, well, that's just giving you a freedom to, or license to sin. Well, I was real good at sinning and didn't even need a license. But the grace message tells me I have a free gift. I am saved because I believed in Jesus. My spirit man is now like him. On the inside of me, I'm saved. I'm whole. I'm delivered. Everything necessary has been given to me. The word says every spiritual gift has been given. It's all ours. It's already ours. It's not going to be. It's already ours. But I can still mess up on the outside. And if I don't repent for that, then the enemy has free shot at me. You know, it puts a target on me. So while I'm a holy, righteous child of God and will go to heaven when I die, I don't have to go early, you know, because if I repent of the garbage I walk in, then that stops the enemy from killing whatever is going on, killing my life, killing my finances, killing my relationship, my marriage, things of this nature. If I repent and line up with the word, the enemy has no chance at me. But if I persist, the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm. That is so good.
So many people have gotten saved and then persisted to live the way they were before they got saved. Is that person lost? No, they're not lost, but they're sure lining themselves up with getting wiped out.
And they're wondering why their life is not better or different and hasn't changed. And they blame God.
Yeah, or they'll say, well, I guess I didn't get saved. Because if I was saved, I wouldn't be doing these things. No. You know, like what our pastor said, if you were fat when you got saved, you're still fat. You were skinny when you got saved, you're still skinny. You know, if you have these habits, you still got those things. That's what you have to work on, is the outer man. You've got to get the outer man to line up with the inner man, and you do that through the Word of God.
And so, with that being said, it's through the Word and meditating on the Word, reading the Word, memorizing the Word, confessing the Word. It's not to make the Word work, because the work is already done.
Mm-hmm.
It is to get your thinking in line with that Word. That is the whole thing about confessing the Word, praying the Word, meditating on the Word, is not to get God to do something, but to align your spirit with what God has already said is ours.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, the scripture says that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. that word work out means to work it till its fullest extent. In other words, I'm saved, but I'm still messing up on the outside. So I'm going to get into the Word and begin to confess the Word and speak the Word and act on the Word until I work it all the way out into my outer man so that my outer man lines up with my inner man.
And to me, it's a matter of, do you believe what the Word says? Mm-hmm. Once you believe it and receive it, then that's when it changes your inner man and the outer man changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, knowledge is so important, and it's the knowledge of the Word. You know, the Scripture says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's not worldly knowledge, it's biblical knowledge. The more you find about what Jesus has done, but not only what Jesus has done, he's what Jesus has done for me. You know, he's the one that declared me righteous because I just believed on Jesus. That act of believing on Jesus, receiving him as Lord and Savior, God himself now declares me as a righteous person. God himself mm-hmm. has declared me holy. You say, well, you know, I'm not very holy. I'm still messing up, yeah? And as long as you're living in this flesh and blood body, you're still going to mess up. But we should be messing up less and less as we get into the Word more and more.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think a lot of times, I've even had people say, well, how do you know what the Bible, I mean, you know, how do you remember the Scriptures? Or, you know, because you'll just be talking in these things, you know, the Scripture will just rise up within you and you remember it and you speak it over that person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this person was wanting to know, how can I get to that place?
Well, you got to get into the Word.
Yes.
Not only reading it and studying it, but hearing it. There's a lot of Christians sitting at home now thinking everything's okay. And, well, I'd just rather not go to church. You know, I've had people say, well, I got the Holy Ghost and I got the Bible. That's all I need. No, it's not. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing. And that word and hearing means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And in Vanadum, as long as you're here on this earth, you need to be hearing the preached word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are just not in church and should be.
Right.
You say, well, I don't need it. You know, there's too many hypocrites. Well, that hypocrite's closer to God than you are because he's in church and you're standing out. So
that is something that a lot of people say. Well, those kind of people go to your church.
Well, good. You those know? Kind of people need to be in my church. They need to be hearing the Word. They need, you know, our churches are not social clubs. They're hospitals for broken people. If your church is not for broken people, it's not a church. It's become a social club. You need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like that. If you're sitting under a pastor that is not teaching the whole counsel of God, you need to get out of there quick. Because there's a lot of churches that fit the category of having a form of godliness, but to deny the power thereof. It says, get away from them. Stay away from them. You know, I want to become everything God's called me to do it. And I'm not going to do it in a happy-go-lucky church that's just preaching, you know, these, you're okay, I'm okay sermons. You know, I need to hear who I am because of what Jesus has done. I need to hear what I have because of what Jesus did. And then I need to hear what I can do because of what Jesus did. Not just that I'm going to make everybody happy and keep everybody from fighting one another. That's what a lot of churches are doing. They're preaching to make people happy instead of make people powerful.
Mm. Because here's the deal. If you're going to be preaching to make people powerful, you're going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
You may not always be comfortable with what you're hearing. It's going to cause you to move around in your seat a little bit and think, wait a minute, what are they saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able and be willing to be in that place,
mm-hmm.
to be uncomfortable. You know, I was reading this devotion And I really liked it, how it talked about they were praying for this person that was in a place in their life that they should not, which was leading to death. And the prayer was, Lord, make them uncomfortable. Uh-huh. Make them uncomfortable where they're at so that they will run to you.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. We need to be willing to be uncomfortable in our places that have gone dry.
Mm-hmm.
And astray, and
yeah, we've got to not realize that church is not a spectator sport. I'm in the action, and I not mm-hmm. only go to church to hear a good message. I go to church to be equipped, but I also go to church to be a minister to those broken people that should be in our church that a lot of churches reject.
Yes.
You know, I should be willing to minister to the drug addict. I should be willing to minister to the drunk, you know, and I should be, you know, if we're so elite that they're not welcome, that's not church. I'm sorry, but that is not church. We should be bringing in the harlots. We should be bringing in the drug addicts. We should be bringing them in and getting them saved and cleaned up. That is our job.
Yes.
And, you know, the Lord has given us all kinds of anointings and giftings to go out and minister to a lost and dying world, a sick world. And, you know, if that's not happening, that's not church. And that's also not the church he's coming for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
and need and to get into a church. And that will cause
him to tarry. Yeah. So it... You know, we can speed things along if we just get lined up with the Word. Because once we reach that point where the majority of the church is victorious and overcoming, he's coming back. But until everything's restored and we're walking in everything he wants us to walk in, it says heaven's holding him. He's almost in a straitjacket. He cannot come until we line up with his Word and become everything he called us to be, so that when we go, we are the glorious bride of Christ.
Mm.
So that upsets religious folks. If I've upset you, then check your religious dipstick.
Well, you know, one thing I have learned with my walk with the Lord is most of the time I'm out of my comfort zone. And that's okay, because I'm going to rely on God. And mm-hmm. so there's going to be times that I'm going to be uncomfortable, and there's going to be times that I don't like it, and there's going to be times that I'm going to be confronted about things in my life that I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because I want to go towards a life that's going to produce life and not death.
Amen. That's what you're called to do.
Yes, yes.
But it's not just about me. It's about those other people out there that need it too.
That's right.
And we're told to pray that the Lord of Harvest would send out harvesters, basically. But he's also looking for people that will volunteer for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he can send them. You know, it's our job. You
That's
know?
Right.
So we've got to get busy finding out. And like I said, this is one of the main teachings the Lord gave me was, you know, who I am in Christ, what I have because of what Christ did, and then what I can do because of the gifts of God that he's given me. I can do everything he said I could do. And if I'm sitting on the sideline thinking, well, I'm just undeserving, I can't do that, then maybe you need to get saved. Well, I am saved. Well, then go start doing what God said to, because your mindset's wrong. Your mindset says you can't do it. One of you's lying. Either the Word of God's lying or you're lying. And I'm going to give you a hint. It ain't the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me the three things again.
Who I am.
Who I am.
Yeah, who I am. What I have.
What I
have. And what I can do.
And what I can do. So to me, that is like the stages to to me. Are people still stuck in stage one of knowing who they are in Christ?
Well, some of them below that, they have no idea who they are in Christ.
And so, you know, look at your life. You know, listeners, look at your life. Mm-hmm. You know, we have who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ. And where are mm-hmm. you in those three choices?
Mm-hmm.
And this is not for condemnation, but this is for building up the church.
Mm-hmm.
That it's time for us to get off the milk, and it's time for us to move on to the meat.
Absolutely. So you've got to know that I am, because of what Jesus did, I am the righteous, holy child of the Most High God, and I have giftings and talents and ability, and I can go out and save the lost, heal the sick, set the captives free. That's everything in a nutshell right there. I can do everything he said I can do. You need to personalize the word of God. If he says believers lay hands on the sick, are you a believer? Well, yeah. Well, then go lay hands on the sick. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I used to get real concerned about it. I said, Lord, what if I pray for somebody and they die? And he gave me a very profound answer. He said, go next.
Wow. And I
all
think
you're
that's
required
more
to
people.
Do. Yeah, all
yeah.
we're required to do is to do what he said. The results are between the person you pray for and him.
You know, that is so good, because that is what happens is I can't pray for people because, you know, I can't make them well. I can't make them this or that. And you're right. You can't. But God can.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, a large portion of getting people healed has to do with the prayee, not the prayer. Now, mm-hmm. I need to believe. And I do. When I lay hands on a person, I expect them to be healed. But the results, the large portion of the results depends on their faith. I remember Kenneth Hagin, he would get in a healing line and start praying for people. And he'd ask a person, he says, when I lay hands on you, will you be healed? And if they said, I hope so, he'd go to the next one. He wasn't going to waste his time on a hoper when he needs someone to be a faither.
Mm-hmm. And so one thing that, you know, I want to also make our listeners aware of, because we talked about the knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what you have, and those three things that we talked about, is the enemy is trying to keep you away from all of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as long as he can keep you away from that, then you're not going to be moving in advancing the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And so we have to look at the things that we're thinking about. Does it align with the word? You know, we're going to be the enemy. You know, it's we always kind of make that joke where we have the devil on one shoulder and an angel on another. But we have to make a choice of who we're going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
We have thoughts, but those thoughts come from somewhere. And so what are we going to believe?
Absolutely.
And then the choice of that thought is going to lead you to whether or not you're going to know who you are in Christ, know what you have in Christ, and know what you can do in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And your yeah. only source is the Bible.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this before, and a lot of people almost think it's blasphemy. You know, the Word of God is not totally about Jesus. I'm in the book. Anytime it talks about child of God or believer or anything of this nature, that's talking about me. I'm in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came for me. And when I turned my life over to him, he got me. And he got all of my stinko stuff, and I got all of his good stuff. But see, until you get into the Word, you don't know that. You're just
nope.
an old sinner saved by grace, and that's not so. When I got born again, my spirit man ceased being a sinner. Now, does that mean I can't sin? No, I can go out and do some stupid stuff. But my spirit man didn't. You know, Paul made this statement. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am." But the thing is, that was his outer two-thirds doing that. He
mm-hmm.
understood his spirit man was in perfect union with the Most High God. And see, most people are not being taught that. So they go around walking in less than they're called to. They go around thinking they're just a second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. There are no second-class citizens. We're all just like Jesus on the inside. Religious
right.
will tell you different, but the Bible will tell you the same. You are
right.
a child of God, powerful if you'll receive it. And, you know, a devil stomper. You know, I've got everything Jesus did, and some of the stuff he did, I've done too. You know, I got in some big trouble because I delivered a demoniac just like Jesus did. But it went to my head. My head was swollen up about the size of a basketball because I was, man, I'd reached the pinnacle, me and Jesus. I delivered a demoniac. Dear God, you know, I'm so special. No, I was just becoming an average Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had so many people say, well, I'm just an average Christian. You have no idea what average Christianity is. Average Christian is a person that's winning the lost, healing the sick, setting the captives free, performing signs, wonders, and miracles. That's average. And 99% of the church hadn't even come close to 1%, much less being like him, like we're called.
So it's time to be at least average or above average, because right now some of us are below average. And so, Dr. Sharp, I'm going to ask you if you would be willing to pray for our listeners. Also, they're listeners, but they're ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they know it or not, they're ministers. And so I'm wondering, would you be willing to pray for our listeners?
Sure.
About this?
Okay. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm lifting up everyone that is listening. Matter of fact, I'm praying for every believer that the eyes of their understanding will be opened, that they'll realize who they are in Jesus because of what Jesus did. They'll realize what they have. They'll understand they're righteous. They'll understand they're holy. They'll understand they're a child of the Most High God,
mm-hmm.
the creator of the universe. And then they'll be able to understand that because of Jesus, what he's done, what he's provided for us, we can go out and do everything he said we can do. He said we can win the lost, heal the sick, set the captives free. We can do his works and greater. So, Lord, I thank you. This mighty move that's coming is the
yes.
greater works that's going to be demonstrated on the earth. God is going to get the glory. And we're going to see the church rise up and be the church in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners. It's just such a blessing to hear you teach because you are such a teacher of the word. And so, again, I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio with me.
Well, I've considered it a great honor. I appreciate the opportunity. I told the Lord a long time ago, he says, if a door opens, if it's not of you, you better shut it. If not, I'm stepping through it.
And that's what we should all be praying. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm thankful that you're listening. What a good message today. We can choose if we want to be a part of that red wave or not. And
mm-hmm.
Get in the word. And so we just want to speak blessings over our listeners tonight. We just pray that you have a blessed sleep night tonight and that your week is blessed. And we just pray that you go out and minister into your world and bring all of those around you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we just say goodnight, everybody, and we hope that you have a good night, and we will be back next week.
God is on the-